This is Christ Together Radio. For the next hour, listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy discuss how God is working in the Church of Western New York. God is on a mission in Buffalo, and we want you to hear about what is happening and where it's happening, and join in. So grab that second cup of coffee and listen in to Christ Together Radio.
Welcome to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson, sitting alongside Ryan Cozy as we join you for yet another hour each Sunday at 11 a.m. Discussing what God is doing through the Christ Together Network and really all across Western New York and now in other regions of the country. We've talked to people with parachurch ministries, with church planning, with helping revitalize ministries, bringing a couple people back in studio today, Ryan, yeah. And had a great conversation last week with Bump and Steve Shank and brought along Aisha, who yeah. was just a dynamic young lady. She was really cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's just amazing to see how God is using native sons and daughters from Western New York, but also bringing in folks from, you know, Steve from Northern California, Aisha from Cameroon, making a real significant difference for gospel advancement as it relates to healthcare at Jericho Road.
Yes.
But then also in exposing young folks to what it's like to do urban ministry on the west side of Buffalo.
Yeah, it was a great conversation, and as usual, I learned so much from people just coming in and just sitting and listening to their stories. I love hearing people's stories, and that's kind of what Christ Together has morfed into. It's just story after story after story of people getting underneath what God is doing and watching Him work yeah. as they become open to whatever He has, and that's it's going to be a great conversation today.
Yes,
as we bring Shep back in studio, and we had probably our most popular, I would say, is if not as if we're that popular, but as far as like between 1 and 10,
yeah,
we had 10 people that I'm just kidding, but we a lot of good feedback on the programs we did with Shep, the two programs we did with Shep and his brother Andre, and again, eye opening for I'm sure a number of people,
yeah,
including myself, and just a great program. So Shep, welcome back in studio today at WDCX.
It's so great to be back. God bless you.
Yeah,
thank you, buddy. And and Jim Murphy, we talked about evangelism and just igniting the mission of the church with Jim, and that was probably 2-3 months ago, Jim.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Probably a few weeks after you came to the area, you're still living out of boxes and suitcases. And
that's a true story.
Yeah, it's a true story. Remember, because you got in trouble for coming, right?
I did.
You're going on the radio, and we have all these boxes. Yeah, but still, welcome to Western New York, and. And glad to have you. And you, I think we were just talking before the show that Buffalo's winter is like Texas summer.
Yeah, right? you can't go outside.
No, you can't go either way, you can't go outside.
Although he did a nickel in Syracuse, so
I did.
You know, he knows what snow's like.
I'd rather be outside in the winter.
A nickel in ministry, not in the slammer.
Yeah. he was upstate.
Yeah. Exactly. He did a nickel upstate.
He did a bit.
He caught a case and did a nickel.
Yeah. It was informative.
Yes.
Well, thank you for having me back. Yeah. I'm really, really honored to be here and to be a part of this conversation today.
Oh, thanks, Jim. We're thankful to have you. And as usual, if you want to listen back, if these conversations intrigue you at all, and you want to listen back to Christ Together Radio, you can go to WDCXradio.com, click on Programs, and go to Christ Together Radio. You get all the information you need. And Ryan, I believe Christ Together Network itself is going to be posting some of the individual programs on their site, too.
Yeah. The Christ Together National page is going to be uploading some of these. And then we have a partnership in the Church of Western New York that there have been some folks who have started listening to the archived messages and been like, hey, how do we get these out to people? And yeah, I was like, well, great. You could listen, number one, yeah. and then you could link them to your web presence for sure.
Awesome. So we're going to get those out to people. We want to get the word out, and looking forward to you maybe telling someone about Christ Together Radio. If you're so inclined, we'd love for you to spread the word. We'll be back right after this.
This is Christ Together Radio, a program where we help you join God on His mission. Listen in as hosts Brett Larson and Ryan Cozy bring you into the roundtable discussion of what God is doing through the Church of Western New York.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. We're looking forward to a great conversation today. We have a number of people on the phone and in studio, so we're going to get right to it. I'm going to skip all the funny business, Ryan.
It's not so funny.
It's not so funny. We're not that funny, but we try and it doesn't work. So let's just get to the business. Great conversation in store for you today. I want you to, if you're listening, I want you to stick around or call somebody, especially as we kind of bring back a topic but expand on it with the idea of racial reconciliation and church planning and engaging on mission together across cultural boundaries,
mm-hmm.
the previous cultural boundaries, and trying to just come together as believers for the cause of the greater commission.
Yeah.
And that's to reach every man, woman, and child. And that's every man, woman, and child, regardless of race, color, creed, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So today we're going to expand on that a little bit. And we've brought Derek and Charlie on the phone with us. We haven't brought them here.
We brought them on the phone.
Our budget is not that big yet. but Ryan, why don't you introduce Derek and Charlie and tell us, maybe and let them tell about themselves.
I'll introduce how I met them, and then I would love for Derek and Charlie both to just take a couple moments to introduce themselves and then talk a little bit about the work that they're involved in. So I connected with, I've known Charlie for a little while. We were connected through a church partnership in Southwest Florida, Summit Church. Charlie was connected to some ministry work down there. Great guy. And he has felt the call of ministry lead him to want to plant a church in Baltimore, Maryland, through the partnership of Epiphany, which has a predominant representation in Philadelphia and in Camden, New Jersey. So Dr. Eric Mason out of Philly and Doug Logan. I'll call him Dr. Doug Logan, even though he's not a doctor yet. He's a doctor with experience. So Doug Logan's out of Camden, New Jersey. And so I met Charlie a few years ago, but got reconnected with him through Epiphany. And that's how I also got connected with Derek Parks, who is doing a church plant in Wilmington, Delaware. And so got a chance to get connected him a little bit more through the Exponential Church Planting Conference. And so both are just really good men. Our church, the chapel, is actually involved in partnering with them to establish these church plants. And so I'm excited about that. But Charlie, why don't you take a few minutes just to talk a little bit about Baltimore and about the work you're doing there. And then we'll transition over to Derek for a couple minutes as well.
Yeah, man, thank you guys so much for the opportunity just to share and be a part of this conversation. So, man, I really count this as a privilege. But, got the call, as Ryan said, to plant in Baltimore, Maryland. And it was interesting enough, I was starting my residency, leaving Florida, going to Camden for a residency, church plant residency. And as we were driving northward, we actually were driving through Baltimore as the Baltimore riots were taking place in 2015. And since at that point, you know, Baltimore became a significant part of our thoughts, heart, mind. And since then, we just dove in both feet. I just moved to Baltimore to plant Epiphany Church Baltimore. And it is our goal to plant a church in the very core of Baltimore. Baltimore is a very divided city, racially, socioeconomically. We all are very familiar with maybe the tourist attractions like the Inner Harbor, but we're also probably familiar from culture with The Wire, homicide, life on the streets, and then the just recently the Baltimore uprising. And so this is a city that's torn apart. You know, and we believe the gospel reconciles distant aliens and makes them friends. We believe the gospel reconciles enemies and makes them brothers. And so we want to plant a church in the inner city of Baltimore for the sake of the city, showing off the glory of Christ. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we just want to do that. So thank you guys for the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Derek, why don't you tell us a little bit about Wilmington? Tell us about how the Lord has called you there and what's going on in Wilmington, Delaware.
Sure, absolutely. Thanks for having me in the conversation as well. So I've been a part of the Epiphany, church plant network since the beginning. I was part of the core team for the Epiphany Fellowship of Philadelphia plant 11 years ago, and then from there transitioned over to our church plant in Camden where I'm born and raised, Camden, New Jersey, which was considerably the worst city in America for a lot of years. And then about 3 years ago now, I ended up taking a trip down to Wilmington, Delaware. We had done some dog breeding style ministry. What that is we found a way to sort of infiltrate the underground of the thugs and the drug dealers in Camden. And one of the ways we did that was going to dog breeding shows. So we ended up linking up with a guy, long story short, who lived in Wilmington, and took a trip down there to visit with him to look at some of his dogs. Now, he had like 30 dogs in his basement and these well-kept kennels and pristine, like they had like water and all this kind of stuff, like just a dope setup that they had. But we ended up visiting him, and as we got to the city of Wilmington, I was blown away, because all I knew of Wilmington, Delaware, was that it was considered the corporate capital of America. Mm-hmm. And you know, when I would ride through, I would see, you know, the high rises and all the banks that were represented there in the skyline, and I wasn't aware of the ills that faced the city. So you know, riding through there, I began to find out, like, man, this city is struggling. Started researching it, and back in 2014, came across an article called by Newsweek titled "Murder Town USA," and it was all about Wilmington and the issues that it faced. So, you know, you're talking about a small city, population about 72,000, but it's on the Department of Justice's. They have what's called a violence reduction network, and there are only 10 cities on that network. So essentially, Wilmington was the fifth city selected. So essentially, Wilmington is one of the top five worst cities in America, and nobody knows anything about it. So, you know, when you say Delaware, people respond Delaware, because you know they don't know anything about it.
That's awesome.
So, you know, by God's grace, my family and I, I jumped to a church planting residency to train under Dr. Eric Mason and Pastor Doug Logan through our X29 network, and we moved down here to Wilmington to get the church plant started. And we've been seeing a lot of fruit. The Lord has been doing great things, and we're really, really excited about the work that God has called us to. So, yeah.
Wow, that's great. It's kind of interesting. Church planting 101 class, we're going to help you breed specialized dogs.
Yes, sir.
So this is going to how you exegete your community, and you begin to see lostness reduced. So go for it. What breed of dog are we talking about here, Derek?
They're called American Bullies. So they're a pit bull English bulldog mix. So what they create is these little short monster like looking dogs with big heads and gnarly faces, and they're really stocky and muscular. So
that's awesome.
People love them. I mean they sell them in Thailand and all over the country and all over the world, actually. So yeah.
Wow, that's great.
Yep.
So in this conversation today, I mean, one of the things that, you know, bringing you guys in, we've got guys that are aspiring to plant churches. Obviously, we're doing that in partnership with you guys. We're excited to be on that journey with you all. But I know that as you have entered into this realm of trying to plant a church, it has required conversations with partners, and those partners are not always partners that look like you and partners that share the same life experience with you. But, Charlie, to a point that you made earlier, the gospel has a tendency to draw people together that otherwise, without it, may not be hanging out with one another on the stoop, right?
So
I was just would love for you guys to give us some perspective on, as you're efforting to plant churches in Baltimore, in Wilmington, in the Northeast. I mean, this is an area that we're passionate about being here in Buffalo. What have those experiences taught you thus far?
I guess jumping out there, it's a big undertaking, and so in evangelicalism, you know, church planting is a cool thing. Is you know, a lot of young guys are into it, you know, and they go out and start these churches. Everybody kind of looks the same. You know, maybe late 20s, early 30s, mid 30s, You get out there, you find a growing community to get into, and then, you know, you try to you plant a church in a vibrant young area where people are into that. We have chosen to take a more difficult route, if you will, but we have a call. We, you know, kind of like Paul said, I have a love for my people and my kindred, and so I want to see them come to faith. And so we've chosen to look at church planting in the inner city, where we've grown up, where we've lived, where we've had our life experience. But bringing that into the majority evangelical world of church planting, worlds collide. Mm-hmm. And it's a massive undertaking, because although I may have a certain church experience and background growing up, I grew up Church of God in Christ. Went over to Assemblies of God and so on. But, you know, now here I am, I'm church planting in partnership with the chapel, in partnership with Southern Baptist, Acts 29. These are very different worlds. Mm-hmm. And so it's a steep learning curve to get into the church planting world alone, to bring in the complexities of the inner city, and not be able to use the same metrics as another guy who's going to a similar community, just it's a white community. Mm-hmm. That creates a lot of issues and problems and hurdles that as African-American church planters we have to face trying to plant these churches.
Hmm. Yeah, that's good. Derek, what about you? Your experiences thus far in terms of just you're planting a church. You've got your prior experience coming into this, but you're also trying to cultivate partnerships outside of those which may be most usual to you. And what does that experience look like for you?
Yeah, so I'm planning in Wilmington, and Wilmington is 60% African American. So when I got to the city, I began to meet pastors in the city who had an interest in our work, and they wanted to get behind us and, you know, support us. A guy that I had become friends with, he invited me out to the Evangelical Ministers Fellowship, which was just a monthly gathering for evangelical ministers in the city, just to have lunch and just to have a time of conversation and connection. Man, I tell you, I arrived to that fellowship excited to see, you know, and meet other pastors in the city and things like that, and I arrived, and I was the only black person in the room.
And a 60% African American community.
In a 60% African American community, I was the only African American pastor represented in a room of evangelical ministers. Now, and I say that broadly. It wasn't like Southern Baptist ministers or Presbyterian ministers. It was, I mean, there were Assemblies of God pastors in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, every brand of evangelicalism was in there, and I was the only African-American pastor represented in that room. So for me, it's, you know, I began to ask the question, like, well, hey, where are the black pastors? Mm-hmm. Where are they represented in this meeting? And no one was able to give me a clear answer about that. So that just sent me on a journey of trying to locate and identify the African-American pastors in the city who, by our definitions, they wouldn't fit the mold of what pastoring and having a solid church or being a church planner would look like, even though African-American communities have been planting churches, even though African-American churches have been pastoring and meeting needs in the city for a long time, particularly in Wilmington, with a ton of historic African-American churches being represented in the city. I mean, when you talk about Wilmington, I mean, the oldest church in America is there, Old Swedes Church. But then right after that, you've got churches like 8th Street Baptist Church. You've got churches like Shiloh Baptist Church that have been there for a century. And, you know, these churches aren't represented there. So, you know, and I begin to try to have the conversation about why that is and, you know, trying to reach out for partnership, which I've been received very, very well in the city. So I'm not complaining. But the way that we even approach the idea of African Americans in our circles, and I'll say our circles because I'll lay claim to it. So, but in our circles, I mean, it's almost as if African American pastors don't exist, even though they've been doing work in the cities and in ministry and planting churches for decades.
You're listening to Christ Together Radio. I'm Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy. We have special guests with us today. You were listening to Derek there just speak about church planting in Wilmington. And Derek, Charlie, Shep, Jim, Ryan, everybody's
full
in
house.
We've got a full house today. We're going to be back right after this. Again, if you want to know more about Christ Together Radio or Christ Together, go to WGCXradio.com, click on Christ Together Radio. We'll be back right after this.
Email your questions to Brett and Ryan about anything you've heard or just about anything you can think of. Send them to ctr@wdcxradio.com. That's ctr@wdcxradio.com.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. Again, we say it a million times, the breaks are way more fun than the program. So if you can ever get down here to be in studio or watch us, well, you'll never be the same.
It's a good time.
It's a good
Maybe we could get public access in there. You know, public access TV.
That is so funny.
We need a fern.
We do. Anyway, I'm Brett Larson alongside Ryan Cozy as we host each week. This week, bringing you a really great topic. I love hearing from both Charlie and Derek and now Shep and Jim just about how people are coming together to plant churches to further the gospel for the kingdom, and how just a lot of preconceived notions, a lot of ideas about each other are being set aside for the sake of the kingdom of God. And it's just really cool. And to me, Ryan, it sets the example, which is what we're called to do as believers, to set the example to the world on how to reconcile and work together for common good within the racial divide that's out there.
Yeah, I agree. I think the reality is, and this is just one of those conversations, I know Shep and I, we've talked about this a lot. It does require something of folks, of white folks, to be honest. Like it requires a humble approach.
Yeah.
It requires that really the gospel is fully in you. I think that you can have these conversations when you have a deep level of intimacy with God, because it checks you. It keeps you very aware of where your flesh is at. It will expose to you some of the biases that you have or preconceived thoughts or notions that you have. And to be honest, it will also show you the great diversity of relationships that you can have within the kingdom.
Yeah.
But when intimacy with God is not there, I feel like it is a repeatedly a key ingredient.
It is the core requirement.
It's the core requirement. If you're not in community with your Father, your Heavenly Father, deeply pursuing Him, it's hard to have these sorts of conversations, because these conversations, they touch on an original sin of colonial America. I mean, at the end of the day, that's a big part of this conversation.
And it's a tough thing for many people to admit or to go back to.
Right.
We want to kind of be like, well, it's done. Like, you know, let's get over it. Let's everybody. And it's not. It's still a reality.
Right. And that's where, you know, you may hear this in time. Like, you'll hear people, well, you know, I didn't, you know, I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I didn't own people, or, you know, like that sort of a conversation. Just saying that sounds incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But the reality is the gospel requires more of us than that. And so it requires walking in relationship with these folks, with friends, brothers and sisters in the gospel.
But these are, Ryan, what you point to are relationship principles, whether it's marriage or whether it's anything else. You talk about coming in low.
Yeah.
And it's so important that in relationship, you can be even in your own mind right and still be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Because the idea is that when you put the relationship at a higher level than being what you think is right, that's when God comes in and is able to start working, because you come in with a humility to listen, instead of saying, well, I think this and I think that. It's like, well, let me just sit back and listen and understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I wanted to transition to for this segment was obviously just grateful for having Derek Parks and Charlie Mitchell on the line with us.
For sure.
Charlie planting Epiphany Church, Baltimore. Derek planting Epiphany Church, Wilmington. But we also have in studio a good friend of ours, Shep, Andre Clark, and he's a pastor here for New Direction Christian Fellowship on the east side of Buffalo on Fillmore, across Catty Corner from Maddie's Fine Dining. And so one of the things that I'd love is just, you know, what's your perspective, Shep? I mean, you're hearing Derek talk, you're hearing Charlie talk, and you've got your own experiences with this. You know, give us some perspective.
The great thing about it is that probably about a year and a half, almost 2 years now, I started walking with Ryan. I was invited by Jeff Carter to a meeting. I didn't know what the meeting was about. I just knew that it was going to be with some suburban churches. And it was one of the most exciting experiences after it was done.
What was the feeling beforehand?
You know,
it's a safe space.
Yeah, it's a safe place.
You know, it, really, you don't, to be honest with you, and I've shared this with Ryan and with you, it's you don't know what you're getting into. Are you going to really be accepted? There's so many prejudices. There's so many preconceived notions and people's perspective or how they feel is their reality. And so it's an uncomfortable place. And there was probably about four or five African-American pastors there. And I totally hear what I believe Derek was saying, to go into a room. And it's like, I'm uncomfortable because I'm used to going to an all-black meeting, mm-hmm. all-black pastors, all-black church. You know, and it just seems so segregated. You know, and I understand Buffalo is one of the most segregated cities in the world, probably. I know in America. Mm-hmm. But to go in there and not know how you're going to feel, is the eyes going to be on you? Am I the token black guy? Mm-hmm. Am I here to receive something to make people feel good about themselves? Mm-hmm. The whole thing that we talked about, colonialism and how people feel like, I wasn't there, but let me write a check to make me feel better with my conscience. I don't want to feel guilty. Mm-hmm. I don't want any shame. Is this one of those setups? But when I got there and I met great people, when I got there and built relationships, that is what made it exciting, because I did not hear people saying things of the nature of, let's just do. It became partnership, walking hand in hand. And that means that somebody's in it for the long haul, not just, okay, let's just give some turkeys out at Thanksgiving and I'll see you next year. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a difference. What can I do? When you actually start receiving phone calls and people being concerned and thinking about you, that is so exciting. And to be honest with you, after the first one, you know, after the first meeting, you say, okay, when is it going to switch?
Yeah.
You know, when is the real Ryan going to show up? When is the real, you know, yeah. I met your pastor, and I'm like, okay, this is nice. All right, let's see what's going to happen. And then I found out that there are some people that really are genuine. And I don't know everyone in the group. The Church of Western New York has been beautiful to me, have accepted me, has loved me. I don't understand always why I'm the one there, mm-hmm. and I'm being honest. I don't pastor the largest church in Buffalo, but I really believe that there's a partnership there, because Jerry said something to me. He says, Andre, every time you open your mouth, I learn something. Mm. And I'm saying, I'm just about to tell you that. You know, but that's partnership. I even look at it in a marriage. If I'm bad at finances, I'm bad. I don't pay the bills on time. My wife is good at it. So why not let her handle the books? Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the way it is in the body of Christ. There's some things that you can do great at, but my church might do great at another thing. Mm-hmm. And then we partner to make the whole kingdom great. That's mm-hmm. the beauty of it.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I mean, one of the key components of this, I think, in the spiritual formation realm of this, we're talking about intimacy with God. In the interpersonal part of it, we're talking about relationships, yes. Actually walking in relationship. Charlie and Derek, just to bring you guys back into the conversation here, can you share with us what have been some of the wins of cultivating relationships as you're trying to plant these churches? And then, to be honest, what are some of the real challenges that you guys are facing in Baltimore and in Wilmington? Because when we talk about church planting, we're not talking about Nashville. We're not talking about Orlando. We're not talking about San Fran. We're talking about Wilmington, We're talking about Buffalo. Yeah. We're talking about Baltimore. I'm from Cleveland. I married a girl from Detroit. You know, these aren't the top 10 sexiest places you want to plant a church in America in right now.
No, they are not.
So talk with us about that. You know, some of the wins and then some of the continued challenges. I'd love to hear what you guys think.
I think some of the big wins are we do get to gain access in brotherhood and relationship. Intimacy with people that, you know, like you said, we just wouldn't normally be in the room with. This, for example, is a huge win for Derek and I, that we're two, you know, random church planters that happened by God's grace we got connected again at Exponential with you, Ryan, mm-hmm. and then now we get to talk about and have this conversation on a platform that we normally wouldn't have access to. Mm-hmm. That's a big win for us. As well as, you know, the hardship, the loneliness that comes with being a planter of any stripe. It's lonely, it's depressing, it's spiritually draining, it's hard on your family, all of those things. But then to be able to, from my different brothers around the country, from the different brothers in my region, and from my different brothers down this I-95 corridor that I'm on, you know, I have a network of brothers that understand where I am spiritually, what I'm going through, the struggles, and all of those things, so that we're able to then, you know, I mean, lock arms. I can have my wife have some resources and some care maybe. I can get some access to some brothers to help me walk through this season of my life and things going on like that. So that's a big one. And third, you know, financially it's difficult to plant a church. Mm-hmm. And so we have to go outside our normal networks in order to be able to get going and get sustained. And so this provides us with the opportunity to link arms, to be served and to serve other churches in partnership and relationship, whether financially, whether strategically. Again, Ryan, you helped us even with giving us a blueprint for the demographics and the different things in our neighborhood. Mm-hmm. That would have taken us months to get that deep of information that we got from our ministry profile. Mm-hmm. But we were able to do that because we're in relationship and we're in partnership. And so those are big wins, I think. Yeah. I mean, the challenges come in. A big one is existentially, and just like you said, people don't want to talk about this. And so for me, as an African-American church planter seeking to plant in the inner city, you're scared to bring up race as an African-American guy in a white context because you feel like you may be harmed ministerially because you become the angry black guy. Just you haven't said anything wrong or bad or evil, but you have just brought up the issue, and now because a lot of white people in the room are nervous about the conversation, you immediately get pegged as the angry black guy. Yeah. And for me, I'm 6'4", 350 pounds.
Yeah, I've seen it live.
Yeah, yeah. So anytime I say that, oh, it's the big angry black guy.
Yeah.
And so it pushes people away from you. Because we have to deal with the things going on in our neighborhoods, in our city, whether it's police injustice, whether it's corrupt policies in the city, a lot of those things that aren't typically quote-unquote gospel issues, we get categorized in that demographic. And I think the second, like I said, is just it's hard to get into these other networks outside of the one that you're naturally a part of. Mm-hmm. And so we have to do a lot of work to learn the language, to know the role, to get into the systems that allow us access to these other partnerships and relationships, just because there's a large whitewashed wall that if you're unfamiliar with the terrain, you won't gain access to it. And so a lot of churches just remain isolated from one another, because we don't even realize we built walls up relationally in the kingdom that it's hard to get over if you're not from the other context.
Yeah. yeah.
or if you're not willing to open the gate and have the conversation.
Yeah.
And so it just blocks that.
Yeah, you're listening to Christ Together Radio. We're having a conversation today as it relates to church planting, church partnership, and just the difficult conversation around racial reconciliation. I've got about a minute and a half left in this segment. Derek, would you be willing to just share a little bit some of the wins, some of the challenges that you faced leading out of this segment here?
Sure, in a minute. Yeah. I got you. So definitely one of the wins has been just the depth of relationship. I've found a commonality of brothers and sisters who care deeply about the city of Wilmington, Delaware. Now, Delaware is a very small state. So and when you're planting a church in the largest city in a small state, people kind of take notice of that. And, I mean, everybody cares about the conditions in Wilmington. So I've found a deep camaraderie of people who've been cheering me on and who have been praying for me. Because they're just aware of what's going on in Wilmington because they live in Delaware and Delaware's small. I mean, if you talk about degrees of separation, normally you've got six, but in Delaware it's two. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I've met folks who know about me, just from hearing from one or two people that I've talked to. But, so that's one of the biggest wins is just a deep level of, just relationship and camaraderie, that I've found. But one of the downfalls, I mean, it definitely would be just having a legitimate contribution intellectually to conversation. I mean, when you talk about African Americans, I mean, in our circles, usually you find them on the seats instead of on the stage having mm-hmm. the conversations. I mean, Charlie and I, we laughed about a conference that we saw that was supposed to be about, engaging Latinos, and on the panel was all white people. Mm. So there were no Hispanics on the panel. But it's definitely difficult to have to feel as if your opinions are valued for what you bring to the table biblically and theologically.
Great conversation.
Because you're sort of on the outs. If you didn't go to the right school or you didn't go to the right seminary and all those kinds of things.
Great conversation, Derek. We're going to have to take a quick
like two or three.
I'm just going to have to cut you off just for a second, Derek, and we're going to have to take a quick break here on Christ Together Radio. We'll be back right after this.
This is Christ Together Radio with WDCX General Manager Brent Larson and Pastor Ryan Cozy, Pastor of Missional Living at The Chapel.
Welcome back to Christ Together Radio. Great show today as we discuss planting churches in multiple different ways and multiple contexts, kind of like we've done throughout the entire breadth of the show, Ryan. But very interesting today. I'm actually enjoying just sitting back and listening and trying to learn some things, as I think a lot of us need to do. But a great show today, and I know Derek was carrying on particular topic that we wanted to continue on, so we're just going to let him do that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Derek, I know we had to take a cut in the last segment there, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to unpack some of the wins and some of the struggles as you're trying to connect and plant in Wilmington. So my apologies that we had to cut you off there, but I would love to have you pick that back up.
Sure, no problem. So, I mean, I just think definitely in terms of what we've been talking about, I mean, having the conversations that need to be had, mm-hmm. Particularly between African Americans and white brothers and sisters, part of that conversation would be, like you said, Ryan, earlier about, the instances of our country and its origins. Mm-hmm. I mean, we live in a country that was founded based off of the Enlightenment. I mean, and you've got philosophers like David Hume who, I mean, he challenged folks to show one, to cite a single instance in which a Negro has shown talent or made a contribution. Hmm. I mean, and, it goes on and on. I mean, Immanuel Kant, I mean, he talked about the guy being very dark, which was proof that he was stupid. I mean, so our country's founded off of principles of the Enlightenment. When you've got thinkers in the Enlightenment who thought this way about African-Americans and that we have a low likelihood of making a contribution to culture and to society and to thought, then, we run up against that. So, I mean, I've been in circles since I've been down here you know, where people kind of, you know, they kind of cheer for you, that you're going down, you know, I had one guy say to me, oh, thank God you're going down there with those people. Hmm. And I'm like, what do you mean? Oh, what do you mean those people, like those people, those are my people.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going down here to try to influence, you know, a particular culture within the city, but you know, it's almost seems like that's good for you. We'll kind of stay back here.
Yeah.
But so even though I found a deep level of camaraderie in the city, but one of the things too is there is a separation, there's a distance, and I think it has to do with the prevailing thought. I mean, culturally for us is that, you know, it's best to stay in your sphere of influence, and not to reach across to try to help people that are not like you or that don't look like you. And when I try to tell people, like, no, you could do what I'm doing. It's not that difficult. All you have to do is care.
Yeah.
You know, all you got to do is care about the people and care about what's happening and care enough to think through. It kind of gets looked at like, well, no, I think, you know, you could do that. So,
yeah,
you know, it's like they want us to do it, but then they won't accept our thought about, you know, hey, we could do this together and we could, you know, try to impact cities that are struggling.
Yeah.
You know, from every angle, black,
yeah,
white, you know, Hispanic, whatever.
Yeah, so that's really good. I mean, and I think that, and we're going to talk about this in a few minutes, to close out today's segment, but you know, I feel like, you know, this is important for the show. I mean, we're a part of something here in Western New York that we're connected to called CPI, the Church Planting Initiative. And right now, our understanding, just humbly stated, our understanding of how to plant churches across diverse lines, across socioeconomic lines, it's not very good right now. And so I had a good friend of mine who is a missiologist, who's had an incredible impact in my life, and he said, look, when you don't have something that your city needs, you borrow it from someplace else. And I really feel that an answer to prayer for us in Western New York, I really believe this. I remember asking the Lord, God, help us. How are we going to plant churches that are non-Anglo, that are urban, that really help us to recognize that every man, woman, and child means every man, every woman, and every child.
Yeah.
And that was around that time that God brought Charlie back into our life, relationally, at the chapel, and he introduced us to a friend named Recab, who's in South Philly, and another friend in Derek, who was aspiring to plant in Wilmington. And I don't think it's a coincidence that God has brought us into partnership with one another, and that God's going to use the Epiphany Network to teach us here in Western New York how to do this better. And I think that's one of the beauties of, you know, coming in low and saying, okay, we, you know, Derek, Charlie, Dougie, Eric, we don't know how to do this well, but you guys are way ahead of us. And Buffalo looks and feels a lot like the cities that you're passionate about. Can you help us? Can you help us with a guy like Chef? Can you help us with a young urban leader who aspires to plant, maybe doesn't think of it that way, but aspires to see a new work established that's focused on the outreach of the gospel, the clear proclamation of the gospel in their neighborhood? Could Epiphany perhaps help us? And I think the answer to that is yes, I think so. And, you know, during the break, Jim Murphy, who's here with us, you're listening to Christ Together Radio. We're having a conversation this morning. Brett Larson, Ryan Cozy, Andre Clark, Jim Murphy in studio. We're talking about church planting. We're talking about racial reconciliation. And we're talking about the overall conversation of the saturation of the gospel in our region. And, Jim, you were mentioning some things in the break, and I would love to have you share your perspective of what you were talking about off air.
Yeah. I mean, this is such a deep topic that goes so far beyond even just this time that we have together. And so even as we make these statements, it's like, man, each one of these could be unpacked so much deeper. And some of the things that I've been learning is, you know, those who walk across the aisle first are putting themselves at risk. And so I'm so grateful for guys like like that are having this conversation, and that I've had a chance to meet Shep today, and the time I've spent with Charlie and Derek and the guys that are planting in this Epiphany Network is because I feel like you know, they're taking a risk by extending a hand of creating dialogue, and that's going to be hard. But if we are committed to the missiological outcome of every man, woman, and child, as opposed to just having that be a slogan on our wall, it's going to demand these types of things. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, some of the things that come into my mind with all of this is, you know, I think we in the suburban context need to be very careful about how we engage these conversations. Because these guys are planting in areas that do need financial support. There's not a lot of financial resources in these places. Now, they need the gospel. These communities need the gospel. And you know, as they go and seek financial partnership, I think the suburban church needs to be very careful to not take an expert or savior mentality. Mm-hmm. That okay, we're going to partner with you, but now there's going to be a bunch of strings attached. We're going to sit with you, and we don't really think that you know what you're doing, but we're excited about what you're doing, but really, we're going to tell you how to do this.
We'll help you do it better.
We're going to help you do it better. And the reality is, I think we all need to be at the table. This isn't about removing one race or ethnicity off the table. We all need to be at the table of mission. We all need to be at the table of having this conversation. But the expert in the room is Jesus, mm-hmm. you know? And then there's various experts around the room in different aspects of the mission. And so what I think we need to do is really look at this as equal partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
Shep, you had mentioned this, that you know, Jerry had said to you, whenever you open your mouth, I learn something. And then you're like, I'm going to tell you the same thing. That's true across the board.
Yeah.
And so I think we need to continue to be brave to have these conversations and be able to admit, you know, as a white man, I'm scared to have these conversations that if I ask the wrong question, I'm going to be labeled a racist, you know. And on the other side, you know, the things that Charlie was saying if I bring it up, then I'm the angry black guy. He said, well, maybe we need to just give each other grace. And that's what I love about these conversations. Mm-hmm. is if we can have the gospel at the center, that we consider others as better than ourselves, as right. Philippians 2 says, as the gospel in Christ and his grace and our broken heart that every man, woman, and child needs the gospel, then we can come together as co-partners. And what I have, I'll lend to you. And what you have, please lend to me.
Yeah.
And that's all I have to say about that.
That's a good answer. Derek, Charlie, did you guys want to add anything to that? I think I heard one of you guys want to chime in a little bit.
No, Jim's right on. Spot on.
Yeah. Andre, what are some of your thoughts here as you're sitting in studio listening?
The crazy part about it is the first thing that comes to my mind is Jesus says, I must need gold. Through Samaria.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I sometimes feel like we don't get the scripture, you know? And so we've heard negative content concerning Buffalo. And I'm sure that Derek and Charlie has heard negative content. You know, The Wire, Delaware, Wilmington have heard negative, you know, but do you still believe that those are still souls that I must need go? You know, that I don't necessarily need to build bigger barns, maybe, that I must need gold, and that there's someone there that if we can reach that one, then that one that's already in there that has relationship, and I understand that they've called the woman at the well a whole bunch of different things, but she had relationship enough to go attract a whole bunch of men out of the city and bring them to Jesus. Will somebody please be what Jesus said?
Mm-hmm.
Be what Jesus did. Be his voice in the 21st century. And kind of, I showed my brother a picture of the white elephant in the room. And we're going to have to attack it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to hit it head on. We can't be scared of it. And I understand we feel uncomfortable. The first time I sat in this studio, there's like, okay, where are we going to go with this?
Yeah.
But we left feeling love. No one, and I understand that we're going to feel like, I got to watch what I say, but I'm your brother. Mm-hmm. You can say whatever you want around me, and I'm not going to take it in that tone. You're not a racist. We actually are learning from one another, mm-hmm. and that's the beauty of it. No, we might not be able to say everything on the radio, but when it goes off, we can mm-hmm. actually just feel free to talk. And then I can tell you, hey, I wouldn't say that at the minister's conference.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I get you. Yeah. I get you.
They won't.
But don't say it there. Yeah. And I think that comes with the beauty of the relationship. Yeah. You know, but when it comes to the suburban church, when it comes to the rural church, when it comes to the urban church, we're all supposed to be the part of the body.
Mm-hmm.
So are we literally looking down? Am I the foot? Am I looked down at? Mm-hmm. Am I the crust under somebody's foot?
Yeah.
How do we view one another? How do I view you, and how do you view me? And do we have an inferiority problem? Do we believe that we're better than the other ones?
Yeah.
And then we look at the concept of planting a church. You can't look at it like every other church plant. Mm-hmm. Because 200 members in an African-American urban community is totally different from 200 suburban people that are homeowners, businessmen, and blah, 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 blah. We might have 200 people and only 5 of them have an actual job.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That's making any type of income. That we dealing with people that have our own public assistance that barely can give anything. So your 200 and my 200 is still, oh, y'all thriving. Y'all can go on your own. No, don't stop sending the checks yet. don't leave us after the first 3 years. Yes, yeah. We have 200 members, yeah. But you got to see that they don't have the capacity, because then we got to go into deeper things that in those inner city schools, they don't have the same education. In those inner city places, they're not getting the same resources. And so there's a lot more that we have to dig. Actually, once we go into one thing, it's a compounding situation. We have to keep on discussing other things, education and reform and how we view everybody else. I'm sorry.
And I think, you know, all sides need to be careful not to dig in, you know, because I think this is one of the things that is really God is teaching me, is that we all need each other.
Yes.
You know, we all need each other. I need more of these voices in my own life. Our churches need these voices in our life. And if we dig in, and I'm fearful that in our culture, with the racial tension that's beginning, sides are beginning to dig in.
Mm.
And I'm not willing to talk about this. And you know, the gospel demands more of us as followers of Jesus. And as a church and a whole, we need to take the initiative towards reconciliation. If the gospel is the message of reconciliation, of God taking the initiative to bring those who were far near, then man, we need to do that. And what a missional narrative that gives to our entire culture.
Yeah,
that's huge. We're going to have to end this thing, this awesome conversation, but that's okay, because if people will join us next week, we're going to carry on with this conversation, maybe take a few different approaches and hear from Jim and Shep and Charlie and Derek and Ryan. There's a whole crew of us here.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to wrap this up and give all the websites and all the stuff, but Derek Parks, Charlie Mitchell from Epiphany Network, do they have a website? It's probably easier if you give it. Do you know it? Anybody know it?
Charlie, do you have a way that folks can learn more about Epiphany?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have, we're all over social media at Epiphany Be More.
Okay.
Just plug that into Instagram, Facebook,
okay.
Twitter, and then epiphanybemore.com. Epiphanybemore.org.
Okay.
Is our website.
Epiphanybemore.org.
Newsletter.
All right, thank you. And Shep, thanks for joining us today. Ryan Cozy from the chapel, Jim Murphy from Restoration. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you guys. Love you all. We'll be back next week. This is Christ Together Radio. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Christ Together Radio. To join in, email Brett and Ryan at ctr@wdcxradio.com. Join us next week for more great discussion about Christ together.